Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Excited to be with you here on a beautiful fall morning. Woo! Man. And thank you for all of your patience. I'm just excited for the time to be back with you. I know last week we had a show off. That's what I meant to say, is thanks for your patience last week. No show with the election day, so hopefully all of you got out and were able to vote. I was trying to be nonpartisan. I've tried to continue to be nonpartisan for all of my listeners and clients. We have both clients that are Republicans and Democrats, so I've tried to be, you know, careful there. And what my tax concerns are, I think. We're going to have a very interesting spring when Congress and Obama try to get together on resolving the fiscal cliff, which you guys know I've been talking about a lot. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, sorry for that little disjointed beginning here. Welcome to the show. For all of you that are new listeners, we've got a show here where we just talk about saving taxes, building wealth, better living the American dream. Here every week, Tuesday, I shouldn't say every week. My first week off in almost a year and a half was for the election day last Tuesday. So, but consistently, generally, here every week, Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. So welcome, everybody. Excited to be with you. So today, exciting show. I'm really looking forward to today's show because it's all about the holidays and saving money with travel. This is a huge topic. I want everybody's Thanksgiving dinner to be a tax write-off next week. So that's the goal here. So we're going to talk about travel deductions. As you saw in my newsletter, I really believe this is one of the most underutilized write-offs in small business right now. It's an excellent way to capture legitimate and honest tax deductions, and so many people don't do it. So we're going to talk about that today. We've got a special guest on how to better use our frequent flyer miles and even access others' frequent flyer miles and save thousands in our travel worldwide, and that's going to be fun. So we've got Tim Gibson joining us here shortly on that. And so we've got some good stuff today, and excited to be here with you talking again about ways to save money, save taxes. Bring it all together. So welcome to the show. Well, as many of you know, every week we have a resident expert come on the show and talk about a tip, something that they've encountered this past week. And I'm going to take them in order of those that got on the line here first, and I hope it works out. We've got Matt Sorensen that beat my other partner, Liddell Air, on the line. So I'm going to call out Matt Sorensen, who's just launched in the last month or so, just an incredible website. He's got an excellent blog. He's writing articles every week. He's working on a book. We're really excited for all the things Matt's got going on. And if some of you saw, he wrote a really interesting article on the Obamacare tax in his blog yesterday that just came out in the newsletter today. So, Matt, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I'm here, Mark. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the plug on the website and blog.
Why don't you throw that website out? What is that website?
It is Matt with one T, and Sorensen.com, MattSorensen.com. You can link to it from the law firm website. Obviously, it's in the typically an article in the newsletter from it, so you can always link back to it from the newsletter as well.
Well, congrats. It's exciting. You look good. We're excited. We know you got some new pictures you're going to be posting up there, so it's going to be awesome.
That's right. So, professional photo shoot.
Yeah, that's photo shoots. Good stuff. So, boy, excited about your article. Are you going to talk about your article in your little tip today?
I might as well. Might as well. There's lots of tips I've seen about giving today, but I wrote the article last night, and as we all know, with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, depending on whether you're Republican or Democrat, whatever you think this law was, you know, there's been a lot of speculation whether this is actually going to come into effect, and the Supreme Court decided by one vote that the law stands. We reelected a president who was a proponent of it by less than 2% of the popular vote. So the reality is this law is taking effect, and this new tax is going to become something we're all going to have to deal with on our tax returns and be aware of. So I just thought it was an opportune time to write about that tax and hopefully educate people about what's out there, because it does apply to a lot of investment income and real estate income for many of our clients.
Well, and you know, Matt, I'm glad you brought it up, because I was just in a meeting with some clients yesterday, and they said, okay, here's our tax returns. Could you look at them? And right off the bat, one of the topics was, I said, your travel deductions are way too low. So like I said, we're going to talk about travel. But then I said, you know, you're going to have the Obamacare tax hit on this too. And I think it was the first time the reality of the Obamacare that we've all been hearing about for 3 years now.
Yeah.
They were like, you mean that starts in January? I go, yeah, it starts in January. And it's like, you know, here's what it's going to be. And they're like, oh, my gosh, what the?
Well, yeah, you know.
And they were like.
Well, you know Obama's genius, because, of course, he's going to lay out the plan, let people know the benefits, give people a lot of the new coverages and requirements in the law, but not make anyone pay it to it until he gets reelected. So no one has to go through the stress and agony of seeing it on their return and then say, I hate this law. It's all, you know, just money to be taxed later, and now people will have to face the reality of it, I guess.
It's genius. It's genius. And I don't know. Maybe some of you that voted for Obama, and there's a lot of reasons to vote for a president. It's not all economical. If many of you know, a few weeks ago I made a slight comment towards President Obama and said, hey, if you want to pay more in taxes, vote for Obama. And I got several terse emails coming back, hey, Mark, it's not all about the money. There's some other reasons we voted for President Obama. And that's cool. That was a great point. I thought it put me in my place. I was fair enough with that. But you know, we are going to have to write some checks here. So, okay, so we got the Obamacare tax. All right, coming. So, Matt, why don't you break it down? What are the numbers? What are the numbers? What are we looking at? And this hits January 1st, 6 weeks away.
Whew. Right, yep, 2013, this is going into effect. So there is a 3.8% tax on net investment income. And I'll talk about when it applies, you know, what income levels, but the tax is 3.8% on net investment income. Obviously, this is after your expenses, but it will apply to rental real estate income, capital gains from real estate, dividend income, royalty income, interest income, passive business activity income. All those types of income are going to fall into this investment income category. Obviously, the net investment income is what would be taxable on this 3.8%. Now, if you're have a lower adjusted gross income, you might not need to stress about this, because it's only going to apply to adjusted gross income of $200,000 or more single, $250,000 or more married. But if you're going to be over this $250,000 or more adjusted gross income, and you have some real estate capital gains, rental real estate income, any other net investment income, this is something you're going to have to be aware of and try and figure out ways to manage from a tax planning standpoint.
Perfect. I think that is a perfect summary. It makes a lot of sense. But we've got a strategy, folks. We've got a strategy, because there's a key word. I think, to me, the key word in all this is net. I think that's, to me, net investment income. Matt, tell me what the strategy is from your perspective. You and I have been talking about this.
Yeah. Well, there's a number of ways to try and break out of this. Obviously, as you talk, Mark, about the net investment income, obviously we're going to want to try and find ways we can generate losses or other expenses that are going to offset that net investment income and keep you under the $250,000 for a married couple, so that this 3.8% tax doesn't apply. And for a lot of people who can qualify as real estate professionals and other things, you can be using a lot of these losses to be offsetting income, which keeps adjusted gross income down. There's a couple other things I want to talk about some other strategies, Mark, but I don't know if you had more to elaborate on that.
Well, I just wanted to definitely say
that was your kind of – that one was your baby.
Well, yeah, I love it. And any of you that have read my book and, you know, you hear me at workshops, I love the real estate professional classification, which doesn't work for everybody, but I'm encouraging all my clients to buy one rental property a year. And that's something that Liddell and I and the accounting firm encourage all of our tax preparers to talk with our clients about. And this is huge because rental property is going to help reduce that impact on your net investment income. So that's my little, you know, side note. I'm pretty excited about that. But what else you got, Matt? You got some other strategies.
Yeah, well, there's some there's a number of exceptions. Obviously, this doesn't apply to income and retirement plans. Just want to make sure people are aware of that. But there's a exception that if you materially participate with respect to real estate income that's net investment income, that it will not be subject to this 3.8% tax. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty in the definition of what this is going to require. What's going to be the standard for material participation? Is it going to be similar to the standard in other areas in the tax code? Frankly, as I surveyed everyone who's been writing about this and a lot of the professional associations, this is something they're really trying to clarify with the IRS now that, again, everybody realizes this law and tax is going to become a reality. They're trying to get some clarification on this exception. So just keep in mind that exception might apply if you're materially participating, and it's real estate income. The other thing I want to just point out is if you're getting sucked into this tax and as a result of rental real estate, or just real estate capital gains, a good strategy to consider would be doing a 1031 exchange. That's a great tax strategy for capital gains rules, which that's a whole nother show. Who knows what the heck capital gains rates are going to be and what can get negotiated before next year. But as everyone knows, the Bush tax cuts are expiring. Capital gains rates are going through the roof. And so there are going to be gains built up in real estate, doing a 1031 exchange will delay those capital gains. And it would also delay having to pay on this net investment, this new net investment income tax from Obamacare. So there's a lot more benefits in doing a 1031 now because there's more taxes you're going to be subjected to. And again, a 1031 exchange is where you sell a property, and instead of taking the proceeds out from the sale of that property, you use the money from the sale of that property and repurchase a new property. And by that, the IRS lets you kind of carry the tax basis and gain over into the new property, and you don't have to pay any tax. It gets put into the next property.
Well, I know some of you are dozing off, drinking your shake, and eating your burger here for lunch.
Why do you
do
always
that.
Say that on my tips, Mark?
I don't do that. I'm not.
Well,
I didn't mean
I know,
to say
I know
it on your tip.
I just put all of you to sleep here. let me try and bring you back. Let me try and wake you up.
Well, I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. No, it's not you, Matt. I mean, it's just this is technical stuff. Sorry, Matt, that was not meant to be you. Yeah, this is technical. And so we're going to be talking about this more. This is a crazy issue. And, well, let me throw this out too. And I know, Matt, you want to make a summary point. There's some strategies. There definitely are some strategies when you have – And I'll just be blunt here. If you're making more than 200 grand single or 250,000 married filing joint, you got to deal with this. If you're not, fine. And if you're going to have a big sale of property that's going to put you into that range, you got to think about it. But generally, if you're making, and this is Obama's point that he was making in his debates, he says, I think the wealthy should pay a little bit more. That was his pitch. Well, guess what, people? If you're making more than 200 grand single, 250 if you're married, that's what he means. You're in that you can pay a little bit more category. So that's what this is. So if you're making more money If you're selling property, this is where a consultation with certainly someone on our tax team is very, very important. I know that Matt's very familiar with this. He's written some articles on it that are fantastic. So, you know, just think about it. That's my summary point, and it's just scary. So, Matt, anything you want to say in summary?
Nope. I'm glad everybody's woke back up. I'm not going to disturb that. So.
Yeah, don't put him back to sleep, Matt. I'm just joking.
That's right.
No, Matt, that's a great tip. And folks, go get out to Matt's website. There's a lot of content on there. Matt is really our resident expert on self-directed IRA, self-directed 401ks, HSAs, HRAs. And folks, be careful out there of people that are saying manage your 401k with your own checkbook in your own name. There are two major issues. You've got to be careful of the personal exposure for managing your 401k. And you may say, well, it's a 401k, it's asset protected. Not you if you're the one managing it. And number two, you've got to be careful of the TPA rules, that's third-party administration filing rules. When you have a 401k, there's all sorts of little plan adjustments and amendments and tax returns that might have to be done for a 401k, even if it doesn't pay tax. So be careful out there. We are just running into this more and more. Matt wrote an article last week on the exposure you can have in a 401k or an IRA when you don't use an LLC. So continue to get a consultation about the LLC. Matt does a fantastic job. So Matt, does that make up for me saying you put people to sleep? Is that okay?
That makes up for it.
All right. Well, folks, that's Matt. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just messing with you.
All right. Well, folks, that's Matt Sorensen, resident expert, joins us every week here, partner at KKOS Lawyers if you need to reach him. It's Matt, M-A-T, at KKOS Lawyers. And excellent topic, Obamacare. Woo! Got to be excited about it. Matt, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Catch him in a couple more weeks. He comes on every 2 or 3 weeks. Well, wow. Deep topic. We're going to just keep plugging along here. We've got our special guest that's going to be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. I want to be talking about travel deductions. This is an exciting topic. It's going to save all of you money over the holidays. You're going to love it so you can pay for that turkey dinner or ham at Christmas. So it's going to be good. But let's bring out our next expert. We haven't had him on the show much the last few weeks, months because of tax season, so we're glad he's come up for air. I've got my famous and amazing partner, Liddell Ayer of K&E CPAs. Liddell, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Now you got a real snoozer on.
No. Yeah. It's just Matt. It's just Matt. No.
No, Matt does a great job. And what's interesting is the stuff that he was talking about is exactly what it leads into what I'm also going to talk about. And so if you're ready.
I'm ready. Run with it, man. I'm excited. So what do you got? What did you run into this week?
Okay, one of the things I've wanted to talk about, it has to do with that 3.8% tax on the unearned income. And there's kind of a big rumor out there all over the internet. I've heard it several times about this 3.8% being a real estate transaction tax or being a sales tax on the seller real estate. So what I wanted to do is just kind of dispel that rumor a little bit about what that 3.8% is, because people are getting that rumor out there that this is a tax. So say you sell a rental property or you sell your house for $500,000, that you're going to pay 3.8% on that $500,000. And there's that false rumor out there that that's the case. That is not the case. What you could possibly pay on is the net gain on the sale of possibly your personal residence, but if you're married, you got up to $500,000 of gain excluded. So you don't need to worry about that unless you're looking at more than $500,000 of gain and your AGI is over 250. And the same thing on the sale of rental real estate or raw land. It's not a tax on the gross or on the contract sales price. It's going to be a tax on whatever your net gain is.
Well, and I think that something that we need to point out here, and Liddell, I love Matt alluded to it earlier too, is this concept of net, is that I think a lot of people are seeing these emails out there, and it was very inflammatory language during the election time. But now, hopefully everybody can look at it a little more pragmatically. It's not a sales tax or a gross tax. It's on the net, which is good. But Liddell, you and I were talking about this a minute ago before the show. We really don't know what this is going to look like on a form either, because the IRS hasn't created forms for this yet. We're not going to actually pay this tax until April of 2014. Is that right?
That's right. And then, you know, and I think there's going to be a lot of things come out over the next year through the end of 2013 that will give us more guidance on this, that will, you know, possibly show us the form that it's going to be calculated on. So there's a long way to go. I think maybe some thoughts were is this will never come into effect, but we're close. It's coming.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, some folks may say, well, if we don't pay the tax until April of 2014, should I worry about it? Yes, for two reasons. Number one, we can't solve the problem after the fact. It's so important that if you're in that income level, or you're going to be selling real estate and have capital gains in stock or whatever the case could be, to reach out to us and at least have a 20-minute planning session before you sell the asset or make the money. And number two, you might need to make estimated quarterly deposits next year. Because if you're going to be owing this additional tax and you don't want to be blindsided in April 15th with a big bill, you might want to anticipate this and do some additional withholding or deposits. So I don't know. It's just something I think we really need to be engaged in.
Yeah, we want everybody to be aware of it, keep it in their mind, and as 2013 rolls along, then we can start doing some planning.
Yeah. Well, crazy. Good stuff. Well, Liddell, thank you so much for your tip. I like it. And getting rid of some of these scams that are out there and dispelling some of the rumors, a huge goal of ours here on the show and in the firm. So,
all right.
Well, thanks, Liddell. Have a great day. Thanks for being with
us. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you later.
You bet. We'll see him in two or three more weeks again as we hopefully get him back on the show. So, well, let me hit two or three important announcements here and some other deadlines that I want everybody to be aware of. And I want to jump into the travel topic, hit some good stuff. Then we'll bring on our guest here in just a few minutes, too. We've got a lot of ground to cover here still on the show. So, first, deadlines. Do not forget. Now, I talked about this on in the newsletter is our primary deadline this month that I want everybody to be aware of. If you want to have a health savings account and make a deposit into your health savings account, which is like a supercharged warp drive IRA, it's just for healthcare, and they freaking rock. And you want to get a write-off, build that money tax-free, take a tax write-off and then tax-free withdrawals. This is huge. You have to have your health savings account insurance in place before the end of this month. So talk to your insurance provider. Go out and make an application for insurance. Talk to your HR person at your office or work. You don't have to have a small business. You just need a high-deductible health insurance policy in place before the end of the month. Now, just as an aside, I just wanted to tell you a personal note here. On the phone call I had right before this radio show, was a conference call with our health insurance agent. And we had our partners on the line and our HR director, and we were all on the phone, and we're talking about healthcare. And we figured out, as usual, very quickly, that the more employees we can get on the health savings account, the more money we save. And we were looking at initially it was a 36% increase in our healthcare costs for insurance for our employees. Our guy was able to whittle it down to about 25%. That's a lot of money, a 25% increase in healthcare insurance premiums. By switching our deductibles and getting more employees over to the HSA, we were able to save another 15% by going down to in our premiums by going to an HSA policy. This is huge. So, this is stuff that can save you thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, this is on the health insurance side. Then we've got the expenses for healthcare, for copays, deductibles, chiropractic, dental, eyes, all that good stuff. And that's what the HSA can pay for. So, folks, if you haven't looked into it or read up on it, please look into it in my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You. Study it on the web. And just realize by the end of this month, you've got to have your health insurance policy in if you want to take a write-off in 2012 this year. Okay. Now I'll move along. Next point, real quick. We've got a big show coming up this Saturday for all my clients around the country, around the world. If you want to watch my workshop live, it's going to be broadcast live streaming, and you can watch it, pause it. It's going to be recorded. It's going to be awesome, and it's going to be on Saturday from 9 to 4 Pacific time, and the cost is less than $100. If you want to sit in your pajamas and your underwear, eat Cheetos, and drink Diet Coke in front of your computer at home, you can watch my workshop, and I'm going to be talking about Obamacare, my year-end tax strategies, getting your family on payroll before the end of the year, writing off your travel, getting your HSA in place before the end of the year, your IRA or 401k, all these topics to help you feel more secure going into this fiscal crisis we're going to potentially be facing next year. Let's save some money. So check it out. If you haven't got a link for it already, I've sent out a couple emails, but if you haven't got a link to it or you don't know where to go, just shoot me an email. Reply to my newsletter today. Say, hey, Mark, I want to sign up. Where do I go? And I'll pass your email right along. That's all I do every day. I don't take voicemails, and I don't take calls on demand. It's by appointment, but I do try to stay on top of my emails. So shoot me an email. Okay, now let's jump into our topic for the day. I want to give a couple tips here and then bring out our special guest. I want to get him on the line here and talk about some incredible strategies. But here's the cool part. For everybody here today, I'm so excited about it. Travel is one of our most underutilized, one of our best tax strategies, is one of the deductions most of our clients that come to us new don't take advantage of, and we want to talk to them about writing off their travel. So let me give you four or five little tips here, and then we'll come back to them and talk about them more in depth as the show develops. So here's my point. Travel is 100% write-off. We're not talking about entertainment. We're not talking about dining. We're talking about travel, which is hotel, airfare, rental cars, gas, valet, taxis, subways, tips, all that stuff is travel. And during the holidays, I know many of you are going to have some travel costs. Now, I'd like you to write off some auto mileage if you end up driving rather than flying. And if you eat food while you're traveling, you can write off that food. We limit it by 50%, but we can write off dining. And if some of you have a question on this during the next 30 minutes during the show, please shoot me an email. I've got my email right up here in front of me. You can email me mark@markjkohler.com. You can make a comment on the chat line. And if any of you that are listening want to press number one, you can come online live and ask a question. But let me throw this out. There's all sorts of good reasons to travel. When you're visiting grandma or mom and dad or the kids, why not stop in? Number one tip, visit a vendor. Talk to someone that you're buying product from or services. If you can, maybe you have vendors or suppliers or a shop or location near your family. So if you're traveling during the holidays to see family, see if there's a vendor in that location you could meet with. I had a contractor in Hawaii that went to go visit one of their window manufacturers in Seattle over the holidays. And so they were able to write off their trip to Seattle. They kept the trip tight and short. They went to visit their vendor. They got some samples. They were able to negotiate pricing and meanwhile stop in and see mom and grandma and go have turkey dinner. Great way to write off the trip. There was a business purpose for the trip. Now, I've already got one of the questions that just came up on email, and I just want to hit this right now. This was a question right when the show started, and this is from Tom. He says, Mark, can I write off all 5 days of Thanksgiving if I make a business appointment during that time? Question mark. Tom, that's a great question. The answer is probably no. As your accountant, I can't write off all 5 days of Thanksgiving week just because you went and met with one client or a vendor for one day. But I can write off the majority of the trip because we've got to write off your travel day to get there, your travel day to get back, and then a day there to meet your client. So then we could maybe write off 3/5 of the trip. So we're going to look at finding a reasonable balance here. I don't want to get too aggressive and get you into an audit problem. We want to find a balance between your travel time that's personal versus business. So be careful there. Let me throw out three or four more tips here. Number two, visit a client. Visit a customer. If you're going to see mom, grandma, dad, son, uncle, whatever it is for Thanksgiving or Christmas, try to visit a client in the area. Go out, take them out to lunch, take them out to dinner, help close a deal. Any client or customer is a great reason for a travel deduction. Number three, visit one of your properties. This is a classic. I love clients to buy rental properties where they travel. Anybody that's heard my workshop or heard me talk about this before, you know I have a couple rental properties in Rexburg, Idaho. That's where my wife's from. So every time I go visit Rexburg, I make sure that I'm visiting my rentals, visiting my tenants, working on the rentals. I can write off a large portion of my travel to Rexburg every time I go because I'm doing business there. If I can throw in a little client appointment, throw in a little workshop, all sorts of things, it gets even better. So now Jason Hartman, a good friend of mine, and he's been on the show before, he hates it when I talk about this because he's like, Mark, you shouldn't buy rentals where you travel. You should buy rentals where they make sense. And I agree with Jason. But we also want to be buying rentals, if we can, in both places, where they make sense and where I travel. Now you're knocking out two birds with one stone. So think about that. Now, there was a question real quick that came in here. This is from Eric. He said, Mark, can I write off travel when I'm looking at property to purchase? Eric, I wish we could. And I love your questions. You're always emailing me during the show. I love it. The problem there, Eric, is that if you're shopping for rental property, that's not a write-off with travel. You can't be shopping for properties. You have to ultimately buy something. So be careful with shopping. Shopping's not a write-off for travel. You have to buy something. So keep that in mind. Great question. We can develop that a little further. Now let me throw out these last two tips. We'll come back to these topics. I've already got several other questions coming in via email. So we'll come back to these after our special guest. But the next one is have your company meeting. Have your company meeting, your annual meeting. Take your minutes. As many of you that are on our company maintenance program with Holly Butterfield, it's $150 a year. She's going to send you a questionnaire. You can fill it out at Thanksgiving dinner, write off most of the dinner, if not all of the dinner, and have a family meeting. We and our family have done this on occasion where we have our family meeting to talk about real estate. This is when my mom, my brother, my sister are there. My father passed away a few years ago and left us some real estate that he had developed over the years, and we have a family meeting. Thanksgiving dinner is a family annual conference where we go over the real estate and what's going on. Is that a write-off? Absolutely. I would love to talk with an IRS agent of why I can write off a family dinner to talk about the family-owned real estate. There's nothing wrong with that. Take notes. It's a fantastic annual meeting write-off, which all of you should be doing for your LLCs and your corporations. Don't think just because you have an LLC you can skip this. This is very, very important. The fifth point is a workshop. Why not go to a workshop while you're traveling? Let me throw out an idea. I myself am holding a workshop in Hawaii on December 1st. Come visit. It's the week after Thanksgiving. Come stay and stay a little longer in Hawaii maybe and check out my workshop. We could write off a few extra days for business while you travel. So go visit an investment club. Look at different workshops that could be in the area where you're traveling. Is it a real estate workshop, a tax workshop, a legal, some sort of a sales workshop, internet training, Infusionsoft, who knows? Find a workshop that's in the city where you're going and stop in and get some education. As you know, this is the second chapter of my new book talking about continuing education if you want to be an entrepreneur. You don't become an entrepreneur overnight and through the school of hard knocks. The best way to become an entrepreneur is getting engaged in good books, good workshops, and mentors and coaching. It's going to help you succeed so much more. Okay, so there's a five little ways to write off your travel during the holidays. And I want to come back to those, and we've got some questions. But before we go get more in depth on that, I am so excited for today's guest. This is exciting for me. Tim Gibson, he's the founder of Alpha Flight Guru, alphaflightguru.com. It's a travel agency for international business travelers. Now, what's cool is they've figured out some very, very unique strategies when it comes to frequent flyer miles. And he's researched this backwards and forwards. He is so smart when it comes to frequent flyer miles. And all of us see these ads, you know, to get a new credit card when we're walking through the airport. And what does this mean? And what are some strategies that are also some tax strategies as well? So I'm so excited to have Tim here with us. All of you are going to have to check out his site. It is so cool. There's some great reading material there. So we'll flush all those issues out. But first, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you found some time to be here. We've been talking about having you on the show for months now, and during the holidays, I thought this was a perfect time to just start bringing up this travel topic. So thanks again.
Absolutely.
For
I love
something.
Travel. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Well, let's start with the good stuff. Where's your most favorite place to go? If you could go anywhere, where would you go? Since you are a travel expert.
Next on the list is Greece, that we haven't been to, but my wife and I have enjoyed a number of months in Europe. We love to travel all around Europe, visit the castles and along the rivers and all that good stuff. So the Loire Valley in France is just amazing. I highly recommend that. It's a short drive from Paris. Get out of the city, go see the castles all along the river there. It's like Napa with castles. It's just really amazing. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. Well, I wanted to get that out of the way. You've seen so much more of the world than I have, so it's interesting. I love it. Well, okay. So, oh boy. Now, I don't know where to start. Now, you've done your research. Let me start out with that. You've written a white paper that people can download. What is this white paper about? Because you've done some research to really put your money where your mouth is on this.
Okay. It's called the Airline Reward Points Gold Rush. And it's basically how you can gain the greatest return on your credit card points and frequent flyer miles. There's all sorts of cards out there, right? From cashback cards to bank cards. You see the Delta American Express card. But making sense of all that was our goal. So it's about a 10-page paper that goes through all the details. It categorizes the cards. It shows you the relative value for redeeming your points. There's basically three categories of stuff that you can redeem your points for, right? You can get the cash back, you can get stuff and iPads and gift cards and so forth, and you can get flights. Well, there's a big difference between those categories. You know, cash back card will get you about 1% back. Capital One, tries to say you get 2% back. They generally limit all sorts of things. So we can show you in this white paper how you can get 5 to 10 cents in value back for every dollar you spend on your credit card. So
I love this.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
This is so cool because I know that there's so much that you do at your company. So this is exciting to just start at this level because I think we can all relate to this. So how do I know which is the best credit card for me? How does a business owner know what they should get when it? I don't even know. I think I called you once before and said, what credit card do I get? And you're like, oh, Mark, it's a big conversation. But what do we do? What are some tips you could give us there?
Well, we recommend you carry three different credit cards in your wallet. And there's a number of reasons for that you can read about in the paper. But the main thing is that you want to have options, right? Just like your real estate, just like your taxes, the more options you have, and the more you can save on your taxes, the more money you can make, all sorts of things, right? So American Express has the most options. It has about 20 airline partners. So that's why, it's really the best card. It's the first one we'd recommend you get as a business owner. They're a very aggressive lender. We used to use our American Express extensively in the toy business, and we needed a lot of toys at Christmas time to sell, for example. The second card that we'd recommend is Chase. Chase Bank has come on very strong. They're beating up American Express and making some very aggressive offers. When you sign up for a card, you can get as many as 50,000 free points just for signing up for the card, for example. And they only have three airline partners, but they did it strategically. They chose one partner for each of the three major airline alliances, and that gives you all sorts of options. The third card is all about getting the free bags and the fast lane at the airport. It's an airline-specific branded card, so not just a regular American Express card. You're in the West, and Delta is one of the, dominant airlines here in the West, so we recommend you would get the American Express Delta card. With that card, you can earn status, the silver, gold, platinum, diamond status with Delta. You can earn it faster. They credit some of the charges that you do, board bearer, their MQM miles, their status miles. So that's why we recommend all three cards, because, you know, you really get different benefits from each.
Okay, so now as an accountant here, I'm putting on my accountant hat because I'm soaking this up. If I got three, see, now as I go out and teach, Tim, and you've been to my class, you know what I'm talking about. I want my clients to use their S-Corp debit card, per se, so that their expenses go right through their S-Corp. But they could use a credit card and then pay off the credit card every month with the S-Corporation, so you're still getting a write-off for the things you're paying for. So this doesn't screw up our tax plan at all, does it?
No, in fact, it gives a huge advantage, because one of the things that most people don't realize is that the IRS has a specific rule that the points you earn on your credit cards and when you fly with your frequent flyer miles are not taxable. In fact, they don't belong to your business. They belong to you as an individual. So it's really important to note that you don't use your credit card points and frequent flyer miles for your business flights.
Okay. Now, so if I'm going to pay for a business trip, pay for it out of the business, take the write-off, but when I take the family over to Hawaii, redeem the points.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Here's the question I had too. So say I've got three credit cards in my wallet. Which ones would I use for my expenses? Would I kind of just spread them around and kind of use them that way, or?
That's a really good question, and there's some detail to that. Each of the credit cards gives you bonuses they give you an incentive for certain behavior, basically. So, for example, the American Express Gold Card will give you 2 points for every dollar you spend on advertising. Well, that can be huge for a lot of the internet companies and things that you work with. I mean, we spend over $1 million a year in advertising, and we get 2 points for every dollar we spend, which means we can get, you know, up to double the 5 and 10 cents, you know, per dollar that I was mentioning on the very best flights. We can get 10 to 20% back for every dollar we spend on advertising. So that's awesome. Whereas the Chase Sapphire card, they also give you some bonuses, but for a different behavior. They give it for the office expenses. They give it for meals, travel and entertainment type of behavior. So if you're an attorney, for example, you buy a lot of paper, the Chase Sapphire can give you double points on all your office supplies.
And then I would assume with the airline specific, you want to be buying your plane ticket with that card and doing some of the direct purchases at the airline with that card, because they double and triple your points there, I would presume.
Yes, exactly right.
Wow. Okay. Now, I've already got some questions that have been coming in, but I want to get another strategy out on the table. And this is what you've been able to do in your business is, and I know this is highly complex, but you've been able to help people get discounted travel by utilizing the miles of other people. How does your business model work, and how can my listeners and followers take advantage of that too?
Well, the way our services work is we combine our deeply discounted consolidator or bulk fare flights. Those are fares that we're literally not allowed to advertise on the internet. Nobody's allowed to advertise on the internet. This is like going to, you know, the outlet stores where they're not going to put the clothes on sale at Nordstrom, but you can go to Nordstrom Rack and get the stuff 6 months later cheaper. Well, the airlines need to get rid of their extra seats also, and they do that with basically two methods. One is consolidator or bulk fares that are offered only to travel agents. You can't find them online. They're primarily discounting them to sell to companies and business travelers. So we have access to basically all of those discounted fares around the world. And we combine those with helping you redeem your own frequent flyer miles. The combination is where we get the savings of up to 70% off on the international business and first class flights. Because you may, you know, for example, when my wife and I flew over to Europe, we flew first class on Lufthansa. Well, the flight from Salt Lake to Denver was not available with miles, but it was, you know, $70 to buy it on Frontier to connect to our first class flights, right? The 45-minute short flight, and the airline said, nope, there's nothing we can do out of Salt Lake. No way we can help you. So our service is a way of combining those things. So we get dramatically more success. We can help about 85% of the of the requests that come in, we can help them use a combination of some of their miles and the discounted airfare.
Okay. See, and that's where I was misspoken. So what you're doing is you're building up your miles and then combining it with these saver type, these behind the scenes tickets, and you guys are able to just create massive savings for people when they travel by putting that combination together.
Correct. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, for example, a local grocery store here in Utah, Harmon's Grocery Store, they had about 80 people flying over to Europe. About 25 of those, their store directors and so forth, they flew in business class. Well, the normal schedule with Delta would have, Salt Lake to JFK and a five-hour layover and then a six-hour flight over. You're not going to get any sleep on any of those flights, and that's at best maybe a two- or three-star flight. What we were able to do is, through a combination of their miles and our consolidator fares, we flew them down to L.A., and we flew them on Virgin Atlantic. This is a five or even a seven-star, depending on who you talk to, airline. They have the largest beds in the business, so the largest business class bed. They have a walk-up bar on the plane. It's amazing. I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. And that's about a 10 or 12-hour flight, depending on the winds, to London. They, full 8 hours of sleep. They get to watch all the amazing movies and enjoy the entertainment and five-star meals on the plane. It was an entirely different experience. So with a combination of those two things, we saved them 76% of the cash out-of-pocket price that they would have paid, online for those flights. So we can really do some amazing things.
Wow. Well, I want to tell my listeners how I kind of got, exposed to this myself is Tim, you've told me about, your strategies for the last few years, and I just hadn't taken advantage of them. So we were able to take our family to Europe this summer, and we used Tim's service and got a hold of Alpha Flight Guru and went through it, and we got huge discounts on our flights. And I told Tim, asked me after, he goes, "So Mark, how'd you like going to Europe?" And I said, "Tim, I got to be honest with you. It was okay. I wanted some ice in my Diet Coke, heaven forbid. You know, whatever. I don't drink wine and bread. I don't think they've caught on to the low carb craze over in Europe. Anyway, so it didn't work out too well dining for me over there. But the point is, I told Tim, I go, "Tim, the most favorite part of my trip was the flight." And he's like, "You're kidding me." I go, "No, it was awesome. Just sitting in there, that business class / first class. I mean, just unbelievable." And I just couldn't imagine flying on a 8 to 10 hour flight again without saving up the money to just do it the right way. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But you're saying, "Mark, don't save up all that money. Just call me and I'll get you a discount where you can fly for almost the same price."
Exactly. Yeah,
that's crazy. Now, okay, so a couple of questions. This is a question that came in here via email. Tim, is this only for international flights, or can we use this domestic as well? Does your service provide both options?
That's a really good question. It is. Our services are only for basically the highest and best use of the points, right? It's just like real estate. Let's say you're going to develop land. You can put a parking lot. You can put an apartment building or a hotel. The very best use of the points is to use them for international business and first class flights. So our service, we're experts in helping you redeem them for the highest value. We can certainly give you some tips, and you'll find all sorts of great information in the white paper about how to use them on domestic flights and what we recommend. But our service is specifically for international business and first class, where your points can be worth 5 or 10 cents per point.
Okay. All right. Another question that just came over the web here. Can I travel before the end of the year, or is this something you have to plan out months in advance? Do blackout dates apply? Is this more work than it's worth? So kind of a tough question.
Yeah. Well, the easy answer is let us go to work for you. It is a lot of work. There are blackout dates, but what most people, it's the opposite of buying flights on the internet. When you buy flights on the internet, the closer you get to your dates, the prices can double or triple. With frequent flyer miles, it's the opposite. You want to book your flights really 1 day to 7 days, maybe 14 days out. That's when the airlines are getting nervous that they're not going to sell those seats, and so they start giving them away to their frequent flyer mile holders.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to repeat that for everybody. So as I get on the web and shop for flights, the closer I get to the date, my prices are going up. But with your strategy and using frequent flyer miles, we're actually the price is going down the closer. So that if you can travel short notice or just know that we're in contact with you and we've got a date that we want to go somewhere and we can be flexible, we can actually get a better deal.
Absolutely. Being a CEO, running companies and things, any of the small businesses, it's tough to plan a month, 2 months, 3 months ahead of time to know what your schedule is going to be like and when you want to go. With our service, you don't need to do that anymore. You can call us on a Monday and leave on a Tuesday. It's no problem. We have where we have the miles with all the airlines, and we help you get the credit cards. You have miles with all three airline alliances. The math is just so good. And our software helps us find flights that the airlines basically don't. We can connect you with a revenue or a paid ticket to catch the flight, as we did, you know, from Salt Lake to Denver, and then the flight is open. Their systems are not set up to check those types of options. We've specifically designed our software and our services to help you find more flights.
Okay. I've got a question here. Do you, with your white paper, and your company, can you give us advice on which credit cards to select again? You're recommending three general types of credit cards and manage them carefully. I would tell my clients, you know, pay for the credit card balances out of your business account. Use these for business, obviously. I guess you could use them for personal, too. What advice further would you give us on this credit card management issue? It seems like it could be a little unwieldy having three different credit cards to juggle.
Well, I they give you different bonuses for different behaviors, so I would assign a credit card for each expense. So, for example, your American Express card, maybe set that aside for your advertising. You know, I come from the background of internet companies. We would spend about a third of our gross profit on advertising, about a third on our staff and commissions and so forth, and then about a third for overhead and the owners, right? Well, by really taking a look at each and every expense that we're paying for, we were able to put as much as 20 or 30% of our expenses on our credit cards and earn those points and really benefit from that float during our peak seasons. But it's definitely something you need to manage your cash flow and make sure you can pay it off according to the terms of your credit card. But they can really be an amazing tool, not just for the points, which are great, but to help you fund your business during your peak cycles.
Excuse me. Incredible. I love it. Well, I've got a few email questions that have come in on just basic travel questions. Would you mind if I fielded a couple
Sure.
of those real quick?
Of course.
Okay. Excellent. One of these questions right here, Mark, this is from Tom. Listening to your show right now, question about travel. What kind of records do you need to keep as you travel for business while you travel for the holiday? I think several points here that I wanted to make. First, on your calendar, the first thing is to keep a good calendar. A lot of people back in the day had the day timers and the Franklin Covey planners and all this stuff, and you would write down where you were going and all this. And some people have gotten really good keeping track of their calendar on their Outlook. But you'd be surprised how many times I get into audits when it comes to real estate professional classification, travel, hotel write-offs, all these sorts of things. And the IRS has asked for my clients' Outlook printout for their calendar. So I think it's very – my first reaction here, Tom, is make sure that you're – all of you listening, I would encourage all of us to keep your Outlook calendar up to date. If you're going out to golf, put it on there. If you're going to do this, you know, if you're going to work or a meeting, lunch, whatever it is, keep a fairly detailed calendar because it's a good audit trail of where you've been. Now, especially with business travel, we'd want to keep records of who you met with when you were there. Did you meet with clients? Did you meet with vendors? Did you go to a conference? Did you have a meeting with the family? Keep records of the minutes. So if you have a meeting, especially with your fellow partners or business owners, keep your minutes, which we're going to put into your corporate book or your LLC book. That's something that Holly does. As she cleans up clients' records. So if some of you are listening here and you're going, oh, Mark, my books are a disaster. I haven't got my books cleaned up and I haven't done my minutes for years. call Holly Butterfield in our office. That's all, you know, that's her job, is to help you get on the annual maintenance system. We have April Toko in our office that'll help clean up your prior records, make sure you have bylaws and minutes and operating agreements. But this is all part of the travel equation. If you're buying or shopping for rentals, make sure that you're keeping notes as to what rentals you looked at, pull flyers and all that kind of stuff, and ultimately I want to see you buy. One more question here, Tim, and then I want to we've got another question here for you. Okay, let me see. Oh, a question about dining. So, Mark, is dining 100% write-off when you travel? From David. Sorry, no, David, it is not. Dining is not 100% write-off. It's always 50%. But here's the cool part, everybody. You can write off dining by yourself. So if you're going on a business trip and you stop and buy lunch, dinner, Wendy's, steak dinner, whatever, and you're even by yourself, we can call that dining while traveling. So I can write off that dining even if you're by yourself. You don't have to have a meeting with someone to write off dining because you're traveling for business. But still, dining is always 50%. I can write off 100% of your travel, but only 50% of your dining. Okay, so Tim, let's come back over here to some of the questions that are related on your topic here. Let me see here. I'm looking. How do I learn more about this white paper? You guys have been talking about it. Where's the website again? Sorry. So can you tell us again? Slow down and say it carefully.
Yeah, sure. It's
where do
on
we
our
get
website.
This research?
Sure, it's on our website. We also published it on CFO.com. If you go to our website, alphaflightguru.com/CFO, so alphaflightguru.com/CFO, that's where you can download the white paper there. If you just Google it as well, Alpha Flight Guru white paper, you're going to find a link to it as well.
Okay, excellent. Now, this is one of the questions that you discussed a moment ago, but I want to bring it up again. If you use your business miles for business trips, you don't get a tax write-off. Can you explain that again, Tim?
Sure. So the IRS basically says that when you earn points on your credit cards and when you fly, those belong to you personally. So let's say you have a sales rep that works for you, the business pays for the flights, but the sales rep puts in his frequent flyer number. He earns those points individually. He and his wife get to enjoy a trip to Hawaii, you know, after a number of flights. So what we recommend is, you know, as you earn them as a business owner, recognize those as a personal asset, not a business asset. And, you know, if your business is going to pay for the flights, if it's a tax deduction in some way, definitely have the business do that. And save those points for when it's not a tax deduction. Save them for Hawaii. Save them for 2 years and go business class to Paris with your significant other. That's the highest and best use of those points. Whatever you do, don't use them for gift cards. Don't be tempted to use them for an iPad or a toaster. That's not a very good use of those points. It's better to save them up.
I like it. Very good. Well, Tim, this has been phenomenal. You added to, again, I think, an incredible show that can help all of us save money. Folks, I can't recommend it enough. Get to Alpha Flight Guru. I didn't want this to sound like an infomercial because I learned so much every time I talked to Tim, but I do want to highlight that I have personally used their service, and it was amazing. So, Tim, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Awesome. What an incredible company, incredible guy. His partners are fantastic. Let me throw out here. In summary, folks, make sure you have a business purpose for your holiday travel. Visit a vendor, visit a client, visit a property, have your annual company meeting, get your minutes done, go to a workshop, come visit me December 1st in Hawaii. Let's make sure that your holiday travel is a write-off. If you're in a business meeting and you're buying food, you can write off 50% of your travel. I mean, 50% of your dining. You can write off 100% of your dining by yourself even if you're doing travel. So this is an important strategy during the holidays, folks. Keep track of your records. Bring them to me. We want to write them off on your tax return. Please don't give up. And again, this Saturday, if you'd like to be tune in for our live virtual broadcast, you've probably seen some emails from me. If you haven't already, shoot me an email and say, Mark, how do I sign up? We'll get you a link to sign up for the live virtual broadcast this Saturday. coming to you from OC, the OC. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being a part of the show this week. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'll see you next Tuesday. I think next Tuesday is going to be the open forum show, so email me your questions. We're going to have the open forum show next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.